Okay, hi friends, here we are in the Cosmic Fire webinar commentaries number 22A. And we're in the Paths of Higher Evolution compilation, page 66. Maybe some halfway through this compilation, not quite, I think. We have just finished the commentary on the archaic stanza number 49, and it's been on the path of magnetic work. A deeper understanding of this is now emerging, certainly for me, and I hope for you as well. The archaic stanzas are difficult, and it's sometimes hard to place where certain events are occurring, on what particular planes or subplanes involving what chakras and so forth they may be occurring. So much of this is about transference to the cosmic astral plane and thence to the cosmic mental plane. And so those who are undertaking this are those who are really higher than the master in their scope of achievement. We are now ready to begin the path of training for planetary logoi, and we're looking at first initiation, human and solar, then cosmic fire, then the rays and the initiations, and then the archaic stanza which correlates with it. This path is trodden by those who will take up the work of the seven planetary logoi in the next system, presumably the seven sacred planetary logoi, and others. Why would there be training only for the seven when, in fact, there will be more planets, most likely? And of the 49 sub-planetary logoi, well, these can be considered to be chain lords, their assistants, and of certain other entities working in that particular department, globe lords as well. But let us remember that there will be probably many more planetary logoi than just the seven, even as is the case in our solar system now. There will be seven systems, though we are only concerned with the three major systems, of which the present system is the second major system. So what will this last system be? Probably not an isolated solar system, but one which is a synthesis or summary of the six which have gone before, I suspect, because we are dealing with three major systems, and our present is the second major system, so the next is the third major system. The final system will not be a major system per se, but the synthesis of all. The final system will not be an isolated system, will not be a major solar system, but a unity, a synthesis of all that has transpired. It will be the synthetic system, and the question is, will it occur in time and space, or will it occur, perhaps it will occur in the eternal now? Although that's kind of a meaningless phrase. In other words, probably not in a time sequence relative to the last or the sixth major solar, the third major solar system. Maybe in a way it's even now occurring in some simultaneous manner. Each Shohan of a ray takes a certain number of initiates of the sixth initiation and trains them specially for this work. This means that the heads of the seven ashrams trains 6th degree initiates for this work. And the Chohan is really a 6th degree initiate himself. But perhaps we are speaking, perhaps of, are we speaking of 7th degree Chohans, who train 6th degree Chohans for this work? Special aptitude in color and sound predisposes the choice. You know, we can imagine that a number of those on the fourth ray, those on the fourth ray soul path would be suitable for this training, as they learn so much as fourth ray souls through color and sound. And the ability to work with psyche, there have to be planetary logoi of all the different rays. The question is, according to one's own ray, will one then somehow work through a planet which is of the same ray? Or can one then change rays? It seems those who are especially responsive to color and sound and psyche are often on the second and fourth ray, but I don't think that's exclusive. The ability to work with psyche that's often found on the second and fourth rays. The second and the fourth ray, as I say, but not exclusively. And the question was, will all ray types be trained along this line? Will all ray types receive training along this line? It certainly seems so, but each Chohan of a ray, Chohans of the seven rays must train those along their own lines. So somehow this ability to work with color, sound, and psyche must be present on all the rays. And the ability to work with psyche, the spirits in evolution mark a man out for this high post. So the the evolution of spirit through consciousness or soul. We might say that the planetary logoi are the divine psychologists. So we might say then that the eighth group, the eighth seed group, of psychologists make a good training ground, a good preliminary training ground. And therefore, in the training for this post, psychology is the basic subject, but what kind of psychology? It says, though it is a psychology inconceivable as yet to us. We might say that that perhaps the kind of psychology taught in A Treatise on Cosmic Fire gives an idea of the kind of psychology required. Every planetary logos has in his own special planet schools for the development of subordinate logoi, and one will first occupy such a position rather than that of a full planetary logos, and there trains them for this high office, giving them opportunity for wide experience. Even the logoi themselves progress onward, we might say, onto the ray path. But why not onto the path of the solar logoi? Why not? And their places, of course, must be taken. The ongoing question remains, do monads singly become planetary logoi, or in their aggregations and fusions, do they then become planetary logoi in that respect? I've even asked the question whether a number of human monads may aggregate, in a sense, to form the monad of a solar angel. I mean, monads are like quicksilver. They are all of the same essence. And so the experiences of the many monads could all be brought into the experience of the one amalgamated monad. The amalgamated monad. AMM. I think it's a nice abbreviation. Amalgamated monad. Amalgamated monad. So, and then the experience of all monads in a monadic amalgamation might be that, of course, yes, they've had all the experiences collected, and it's all been one identity all the time. And the sense of being a separative identity who's had only certain experiences in the lower worlds would give way to being a collective identity with many experiences, and yet, though collective, just one. So the amalgamated monad, though a collective, has the experience once amalgamation has occurred of being just one identity. Well, it seems strange, I know, but it's all part of the merging on the way of return. So it really probably is revealed to us when we are understanding something about identification and actually have the experience of identification. So that's all he really is going to say, and he probably will repeat himself in A Treatise on Cosmic Fire. But psychology is the basic subject, and this is, of course, the planetary and systemic psychology. And he has hinted at just a little bit in A Treatise on Cosmic Fire, which is, after all, the psychological key to the secret doctrine, so we are told. It's got to be a very broad study of the qualities of different beings, their planetary influences, the many, many energies which will advance the consciousness through many experiences. Because this planetary logos will be present in and infuse a wide collection of beings of different status, different degrees of unfoldment, all the way from the tiniest atom or atomic particle that is part of the anima mundi, or whose consciousness is that of the anima mundi, all the way up to very high beings and cooperators, such as the Buddhas of activity are for our particular planetary logos. It's all the problem of the one and the many, and the methods of solving this, the difficulties one gets into when one examines closely the relationship of the one and the many. Ultimately, we have to say that only in the world of illusion are there the many, and there is, in the world of reality, always the one. So this path is one that attracts to itself only a few of the sons of men. Well, we have to say, you know, after all, how many planetary logoi are there? And I suppose there are many solar logoi who do not have planets. But that is interesting, because if a planet is somehow a chakra of a solar logos, and if the chakras originate from the motion on the monadic level of a solar logos, then will that mean somehow that solar logoi who do not have planets do not have chakras? Or is it simply a question of whether the chakras are materialized on a cosmic physical plane, or whether they remain cosmic astral chakras or cosmic mental chakras? It's an amazing universe to discover, and the thought is that we have been discovering it infinitudinously. Not the same universe, but always a different algorithm, always a different design, unrepeatably different designs. So only a few comparatively of the sons of men, and this is true also of path number one, is it not? True also of path one. It involves a peculiar form of development and the faculty of continued awareness. So we might say continuity of consciousness, right? Along with spiritual identification, which is the distinguishing characteristic of the seven cosmic paths anyway, but sustained spiritual identification is required. And a continuity of awareness on all levels, on all levels of expression. So I'm remembering this old biblical statement, and I ran into it not so much from the Bible, but from the oratorio Elijah by Mendelssohn, which has many, many beautiful parts. He watching over Israel slumbers not nor sleeps. And Israel in this case can be considered the externalization of the plan and purpose of the planetary logos. In other words, his expression, his body of manifestation. And he is always the all-seeing eye, always the all-seeing eye, which does not close. It does not slumber. So he watching over Israel is a kind of silent watcher. And of course the idea of silent suggests a type of non-interference in the affairs of his expression. He is in one way participating, and in another way completely detached. So what is required here? Requirements so far. Color, sound. Okay. What else? Oh, maybe this is, no, this is the right one. Color, sound, psyche and psychology. Color, sound, knowledge of psyche, therefore psychology, and silent watchfulness. And of course, continuity of consciousness, and spiritual identification. These are the factors. The adept who chooses this path preserves in a peculiar way the faculty of sense perception plus identification with the spirit aspect. In other words, he has to be the pervasive perceiving consciousness within all beings, beings who are collected magnetically for his planetary manifestation. So he has to be there perceiving. So on all levels he must perceive. And of course we're dealing with the higher senses as well. Okay. On all levels he must perceive, and we are dealing not only with the five lower senses, but with all the extensions of sense. So they, the adepts, are constantly spoken of in the occult archives as lords whose Maya Virupa continuously returns. Well, they do have a body of Maya, which has been created through their meditation. Created through their meditation. Now, if it continuously returns, does it also go out of incarnation in some manner? They will have incarnations, just as the Solar Logos does. They will have, you know, six or maybe a summary seventh incarnation. Maybe they've been with a particular Solar Logos as the representatives of his chakras for his many systems, working all the way up from his physical system, non-sacred, astral non-sacred, mental non-sacred, and then his personality mental system, sacred or major, and his soul system, sacred or major, and his next or will system, sacred or major. Kind of wonder about the, was there even a personality ray for the first three systems, or similarly to how it occurs within man, did it emerge at a later stage of solar logoic development? So as they work with the psyche or the soul manifestation and are primarily concerned with the subjective side of life, it's not just the form. The forms are used only to advance the psyche. As they work with the psyche or soul of manifestation, and are primarily concerned with the subjective side of life, the advancement of consciousness, they are connected with that center in the body of the one about whom naught may be said, which is the source of constant or conscious sensation. So, they are connected with the sacral center or solar plexus center. It seems that the sentiency is particularly related to the solar plexus. Therefore, they are vitalized. Oh, well, okay. it's always nice to know when you don't read ahead that you are connected with what the Tibetan will say next, that sometimes, at least, one is on target. Therefore, they are vitalized from the solar plexus of that great existence whose all-embracing vitality holds our logos along with other solar logoi within the sphere of his consciousness. Well, now, we could say this is about a cosmic logos and other sacred suns. That would be one way. But we could also be talking about the one about whom. So the source of conscious sensation, let's make a note of that, okay? The source of conscious sensation, this is the solar plexus. This is the solar plexus center. Okay. So, what is the solar plexus of that great existence? Well, it depends on what we mean by the great existence. Is this the first one above our logos, or the second one above our logos? The first one is a cosmic logos, or a one about whom? Now, if we're just talking about, even the term solar logoi is blinded. That's unfortunate, but it really is blinded. If you take a look here, let's see where we are here. We'll come back. There it is. Notice on this map, the big map, causal body of a solar logos and Great Bear being the seven centers in a solar logos. Well, you know, those beings who are as monad to our solar logos are not going to be centers within it, right? Because the lesser, under normal logic, is not going to include the greater. So a solar logos is also a blinded term, and it can mean the logos of an aggregate of stellar, it can mean a stellar system of solar logoi. A solar logos can, in a way, be the being working through such a constellation. Usually the term is cosmic logos. A solar system, certainly a system of stars, is such a blinded term. The term solar system is extremely blinded, as it can mean a one-star system or a system of many stars, or a system of many constellations. It can mean all of those things. DK is trying not to lay out too much for us. What will happen is that those who are not really interested or maybe not capable of penetrating, like who is, but will be immediately repelled and will be on working on other things which are more relevant to them. And those who can penetrate will be attracted and will do their best to penetrate the blinds. And in that way, the law of economy is observed and there is not wasted motion on the study by those who cannot of that which is impenetrable to them. So there is a, and what is this solar plexus? Well, we have said that the seven solar systems, of which ours is one, is the solar plexus of the of our local one about whom not may be said. The one about whom, well, you know, not so much is said about the one above our logos. That's a one about whom, and that's a cosmic logos. But most often when we speak of the one about whom not may be said, we are speaking of the super constellational logos, one who has constellations. So maybe our own local so those who are, you know, those who are on this path, who are on this path, may be vitalized from our own solar system. I'm blinding, meaning system of local system of stars, in which our sun as a star plays a role. Okay. So different constellations in the one about whom naught may be said vitalize different ones of the path. So the concern with the subjective side of life, they are connected with that center in the body of the one about whom naught may be said, which is the source of of conscious sensation. So in a way they are connected with our own local cosmic logos. So, i.e., perhaps, with our own local cosmic logos. Now if for some reason excuse me, they are vitalized from the solar plexus of that great existence whose all-embracing vitality holds our logos, now along with other solar logoi, within the sphere of his consciousness. Now, this, if we mean our cosmic logos, then the star Fomalo, Fomalo. Well, I guess we're not really going to see how that works. We better here look at Fomel. Fomalhaut. Fomalo. Fomalo. Oh, that's it. Fomalo. Then Fomalo, being perhaps the solar plexus of our seven solar systems, of which ours is one, perhaps not. We don't know whether we've included the correct stars. Maybe we have, maybe we haven't. Nicholas and I have worked on this. But some star representing the solar plexus, or some star representing the solar plexus of the one about, of the local cosmic logos, will be the source of the energy of this path. Well, I think or prefer in this case think that it is a constellation about which they are speaking rather than a single star. In the previous, relative to the previous path we discussed of magnetic work, constellations were involved, Gemini and Libra. And I wonder if I said enough about Libra there. I think I mentioned that it seems very definitely to be a second-ray constellation as well as a third, in the same way that the Pleiades are a second-ray constellation as well as a third. As for other rays, we'll have to defer the consideration of that. Therefore, they are vitalized from the solar plexus of that great existence whose all-embracing vitality holds our logos, along with other solar logoi within the sphere of his consciousness. So when we say something like our logos, even the term our logos is blinded, as it can mean our cosmic logos. And that is something that we have to take into consideration as a possibility. Okay. Along with other solar logoi, can mean our which holds our logos along with other solar logoi within the sphere of his consciousness. But even if it does not mean this, does not mean our cosmic logos, then that great being can hold the solar logoi of our cosmic logos in his sphere of consciousness, along with the solar logoi of the other cosmic logoi who make the chakras of the one about whom naught may be said. So one day we will establish the truth of this one above the logos and perhaps the second one above the logos. I have some friends who are theorists here. They maybe do not believe in the first one about the logos. They do not believe in that the seven solar systems, of which ours is one, are systems of stars. They believe they are systems of constellations. And of course, I've also said that may well be the case. A solar system can be a system of constellations as well as a system of stars. Why not? The term system simply indicates an aggregation of stars. And if those stars are in constellations, it's still an aggregation of stars. As is well known, the solar plexus is the center which synthesizes the reactions and the essential virtues of the lower three centers. So this has to do with sensing the not self. This point must be borne in mind when studying this cosmic path. So it is connected with the solar plexus. Now, other theorists have thought that this definitely means Orion. And Orion is pretty much on the Earth's equator, which is its symbolically its diaphragm. So where the solar plexus could well be located. Okay, that is certainly possible. And of course, in a way, our cosmic logos, or our seven solar systems, are located even lower. I mean, Sirius has its place below the equator, and so does Alpha and Beta Centauri, but not Procyon, and not some of the other stars which have been thought of as within our seven solar systems. Really, we do have to establish which stars are in the seven solar systems, of which ours is one. And, as I say, there are different theorists who have different ideas. My friend Nicholas and I, who have taught a long time, Nicholas has certain ideas involving Fomalhaut, one of the royal stars, Altair, and Vega. And I believe my friend Peter Kubaska, who has theorized about these seven suns, he has different ideas. So at first, different ideas will arise, and they have to be somehow confirmed, which is not easy for us to do. These adepts are also called the Lords of Cosmic Maya. Well, they are related to the third aspect of divinity. For they work with that faculty which is responsible for illusion. Well, in other words, what is illusion? The presentation of reality in forms which does not reveal the true nature of the reality, but which at best can be seen as a symbolic of that reality. So you know, in a way, the third ray and Mercury are involved here. The third ray, of course, is the ray of the veil, and the ray of Maya is the ray of the veil and the ray of Maya. And when you think about what's going on in the world today, with so many insisting that the woman, in a way the symbol, in one way the symbol of the third ray, in another way of the second, that the woman should be veiled, it suggests subservience to the personality ray of the planetary logos, and in general to the third aspect of divinity. The second ray involves the unveiling. And I do not think, philosophically, that we can afford to go back to the veil and all the glamour and mystery surrounding it. We have to see more clearly, I think. And, of course, other religions, too, have more or less veiled the woman. Even Isis, back to Egyptian times, was veiled, and HPB's book, Isis Unveiled, was all about the revelation of the mysteries behind the veil, and they may well be Syrian mysteries, because Isis is another name for Sirius. For they work with that faculty which is responsible for illusion, and with the relation of the knower to that which is to be known. Now, first of all, that relation is subject to illusion because of the subject-object split, or perceived split. As long as the subject and the object are seen as separate, there will always be illusion. There will always be sensed kind of reality to the many divisions that the perceiving mechanism registers. So, and also think here of the philosophical, implications. Those who tread this path are closely related to the third aspect of divinity, And this aspect sponsors intellectual philosophy. Okay. So the relation of the knower and the known. Mostly it's a relation which in the consciousness of the knower registers as illusion. But when the knower and the known are known as one and the same, then the illusion of fragmentation begins to vanish. Remember, here we are not considering the three worlds of human endeavor except insofar as they form a part of the whole. So on the higher planes, what is the relation of the knower to that which is to be known? I would say on the higher planes, the illusion, the subject, object, illusion, is somewhat dissipated. But Master D.K. has told us that we are still subject to illusion until the ninth initiation. So, and then one wonders, you know, as I said, sometimes I just think the whole universe is, from the perspective of absoluteness, the great illusion, the Mahamaya. But it is a recurrent, an infinitudinously recurrent inevitability, the universe. It's the only thing that the one who is does. So I can say that. The universe is the only thing that the one who is does. This sounds a strange collection of words, of course. The attributes which predispose a man for the work of training himself, I guess this is a hint for all of us. We are all self-trained, in a sense. So even when we're studying for the other paths, the self-training comes into effect, and even on our own little path of discipleship, it is self-training. It is the use of the rules which have been laid down and the laws which have been given as existing. We do train ourselves. No one can actually train us. Our acquiescence, even if you have a trainer, you have to acquiesce with your will to the training. There's no such thing as any trainer doing it for you. So no trainer can, quote, do it for you. So the attributes which predispose a man for the work of training himself for the path of a planetary logos are three in number and must be expressed thus. Cosmic vision. These adepts are connected with the logoic third eye. Mm-hmm. Well, I think of Jupiter here as the planet of vision, and it is connected with Sagittarius, which may be connected with the hunter Orion. So one can understand why Orion is implicated in this path of the planetary logoi. The logoic third eye. The third eye, well, let's see, it's an evocation. The third eye is an evocation of three centers. And we might call them, in a human being, they are called the head center, the ajna center, and the alta major center. But from the cosmic perspective of the one about whom not may be said, what are these? Well, we could say, you know, are the Pleiades as a whole the head center of the one about whom? Is the little bear the Ajna center? And what about the Alta Major center? I have not thought too much of that. I wonder if we have to go very far out to find that Alta Major center. There are a number of constellations who could be candidates. The Alta Major center is not considered one of the major centers, but it is the evocation. It is necessary for the evocation of the full powers of the third eye. So I'll just ask, what is the correspondence of the Alta Major center for the one about whom? And we'd have to take a close look at the neighboring constellations. The Great Bear is there, the Little Bear, the Pleiades, and some other constellation must also be present. Of course, we're really dealing with the interior nature of these constellations and not with the outer aggregate of forms. So cosmic vision is one factor, and we have to deal with the great light. Cosmic vision, deva hearing, we must also remember, always remember, okay, that makes me want to do this. We must also remember, right, but by the time I finish doing this, yes, we must always remember that devas see sound and hear color. But perhaps it means to hear the notes of the builders and know how these builders are to be employed through sound formulas or through, sound formulas or through musical formulas. And also psychic correlation, we'll have to see what he means by that. Perhaps the psyche is the great correlator, or we might mean bringing the various psyches within form into relation with each other, perhaps. We'll see if he can give us an idea. So vision, hearing, and maybe this is the correlation, of sight and sound. Okay. Okay. Well, I'm pretty sure, let's see, this is Let's take a look at this. Okay, so we have to look for these three factors. Divine vision, is that what he's called it? Cosmic vision? Cosmic vision, deva, hearing, and psychic correlation. There's much of the artist in this particular path. It says that all the senses are, as we know, connected with some center, and these centers are in turn connected with planetary centers, which are themselves energized from analogous cosmic source. So the origin of the centers or chakras, or the origin of the senses, is here dealt with. And different senses correlated with different chakras. So the adept on this third path, and we cannot ignore the numbering, of course, has a specific connection with the energy which emanates from those cosmic centers which are related to spiritual vision and spiritual hearing. Cosmic centers, okay. Spiritual vision and spiritual hearing. So these will not be solar logoi as centers, most probably, but constellations in the one about whom. Now, the little bear is related to vision, certainly. And what about Orion? He was blinded and then he saw again. He was blinded and then his sight was restored. And what about our own local cosmic logos of the seven solar systems? The sense of touch has primarily to do with the objectivity of the dense physical form. It is related to feeling. And I suppose in this way, and thus to the solar plexus center, and thus to the solar plexus. And with it, this particular group of adepts has nothing to do. Okay. Sight, hearing, and the power to correlate the relation between the self and the not-self is there. So that is what is meant by psychic correlation. Here we have, again, a cosmic vision, deva hearing, because the devas are connected with the third aspect, and hearing is connected with the third ray, and psychic correlation defined immediately above. As the power to correlate the relation between the self and the not-self, to know what is the self, what is the not-self, and how the two can interplay. So, but the not-self comes specifically under the guidance and stimulation of a totally different group of cosmic workers. So, more along deva line. It is difficult to convey a clear meaning in this connection, and the student must remember that we are dealing with spirit and with the other two types of cosmic energy. So this whole section is about spirit. And the other energies also from the cosmic perspective. Okay. So with the sense of feeling per se, this group has the sense of touch. They have nothing to do with that. Objectivity of the dense physical form, and with it this particular group of adepts has nothing to do. And yet, if we go back here, we say that as they work with psyche or soul, they are primarily concerned with the subjective side of life. They are connected with that center of the body of the one about whom not may be said, one about whom not may be said, which is the source of conscious sensation, and that is the solar plexus. And so, is the solar plexus, or is it not, connected with the sense of touch? Is the solar plexus, or is it not, connected with the sense of touch, and thus with feeling? And it seems that it is, but the idea of connection with objectivity is something that is not part of the work of these particular adepts. And touching as the revealer of objectivity is not part of their work. Okay. So the sense of touch has primarily to do with the objectivity of the dense physical form, and with it, this particular group of adepts has nothing to do, and we have to say, though, and yet, how can they be energized from that center within the one about one about whom, which has to do, which is the solar plexus. And does not the solar plexus have to do with touch? It would seem that it would. So maybe we have a little bit here of a possibly lurking contradiction. But at this point, what we will do is say that this is the end of Cosmic Fire Webinar Commentaries 22A. Path of Higher Evolution Compilation, page 70. And we'll have the beginning of Cosmic Fire Webinar Commentaries 22B, Path of Higher Evolution Compilation, page 70.